It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey folks, what's going on? Thank you so much for giving us a listen. We are the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, presented by Daily Joust. We are the daily podcast, the only one that I know, completely devoted to this industry, and also going to be helping you become a better player and win more games, win more money. So ultimately, what I like to think is this is the most important podcast you will listen to each and every day, because most of those other ones aren't going to do that. But I am. At least I'm going to try to. We also talk about the industry, and there is a ton of stuff that we need to talk about today. Most importantly, what happened on Friday night. FanDuel, Daily Fantasy Baseball Championship Qualifier. We had 1,800 entries in the tournament. And what happened? We had a tie. Now, there wasn't two people tied, or three people tied, or four people tied, but five people with the same lineup finish atop the qualifier. So what does this mean, you may wonder? Does that mean we got five people going to Vegas now for that chance at 100,000? Not quite. Doesn't work like that. Coming up on Friday, these five players, we'll go through them here in just a second, are going to play it off for a chance to win the trip to Vegas and a shot for $100,000. So it's basically like a five-man league. Winner takes all. Winner wins the trip. The other ones will still walk away with nice parting gifts. I think I'm not sure exactly what the totals come to. Probably about $300 or so that they will end up splitting each. They should each get for their top finish. But here's the thing that's amazing. I know a lot of discussion already on the forums about this. Is this going to basically mark the end of the current format of FanDuel's baseball rosters and the way that they run their game? It's not going to make any changes this year. I'm 1,000% convinced you're not going to see any wholesale changes to rosters or salaries or rules with FanDuel at this point in time. I mean, this is a huge, huge site. You know, it's one thing if a newer site like Fantasy Feud wants to make a change, because let's face it, there's not quite as many people on the site. They're newer to the industry. They're kind of just learning their ways. So for them to make a change mid-season, especially when they don't have a ginormous contest like this, it's not a big deal. But I think that they would even, I think FanDuel would actually face bigger criticism if they changed the rules halfway through. So, first off, I don't think we're going to see any rule changes with their games this year. With that said, or at least anything major, with that said, I do think that next year we are going to see some changes at FanDuel. I think we're going to see bigger rosters. I don't know if it's going to be utility spots. I don't know if it's going to be extra pitching. I don't know if it's going to be both. But the reason why they have to do it, and this isn't picking on them at all, I mean, I think the current setup that they have is fine for 99% of the tournaments they run. But for an 1,800-person field, you got to have more spots, because five people with the same roster, I mean, there's no question. I'm sure the people at FanDuel are maybe a little bit embarrassed by that. But here's the thing. It's going to make for great drama on Friday. There's no question about it. And they'll probably look at it and say, okay, here we go. There's our proof that we need to make a change on this. Because when you have that many people on there, this is bound to happen. Now, I never thought it would happen to this extreme. I really didn't. I thought maybe we'd see a couple, maybe like two, possibly three people with the same team. But five that finish on top is absolutely insane to me. And the lineup was basically a Braves stack lineup with David Price pitching and Johnny Peralta at shortstop. And a lot of people used it. And, you know, you had the Braves out there in Colorado, scored a ton of runs, worked out great. But you still had to get the starting pitcher right. You had to get David Price, and he came through with a great outing against Oakland at home. And I give credit to these people who do this. I mean, some people say there's no skill in stacking teams. I'm not going to lie. It's probably not as skillful as going through and trying to find all the individual hitters. But the bottom line is the rules are the rules. This is the way it's set up. You can play this type of game anywhere you want. And, you could say if you've got a bigger bankroll, you're at an advantage. You could stack all 30 teams with one pitcher. But the bottom line is you still got to hit that pitcher. And on top of that, you still got to hit that extra hitter that you have. Because if you don't, I mean, the bottom line, in this tournament, you got to be about perfect. But back to the roster situation, because here's the thing. Like, I don't think this is a reason to pick on FanDuel, because the bottom line is, let's say a site like Daily Joust, which has the exact same setup, would run a 1,700-person tournament. I am 100% convinced they would have the same problem. But the fact is, they don't run tournaments of that magnitude. So it's really a non-issue. So that's why nobody really talks about the changes over there on that site. But I think if FanDuel is going to be committed to running tournaments of this size, which I think is fine, I don't have any problem with it. It's hard to win, don't get me wrong, but $100,000 is a lot of money. That's going to change people's lives. So to do that, you got to run tournaments of this magnitude. And in my estimation, if they're going to continue to do this down the road, if that's going to be their strategy, they need to kind of change it up just a little bit. And now the question is going to be asked is, are we going to see any changes for football? Because let's face it, if it happened in baseball, it can definitely happen with football. So come football season, are they going to expand the rosters? Are they going to go two quarterbacks? Are they going to go extra utility spots? Because, you know, the fields in that are not going to get smaller anytime sooner. Because let's face it, if they're going 100,000 for baseball, is there a chance they could go 250 for football? Could it be 250,000 first place for football? It could. I'm not saying it will. I have no idea. I haven't talked to those guys. But it could. And if it does, there's going to be a lot of people putting their 10 bucks in, making a shot, trying to get to the finals. And my guess is they're going to learn their lesson from this, because I don't think it's particularly good. I mean, I'd be pretty frustrated if I had the winning roster and now had to play it off with four other people. Now, just be happy you have that opportunity to play it off, but still, it kind of sucks. But now let's quickly look at the five people who made it, because this is just a huge story in my mind. We've got a couple of guys I have no idea who they are. Elephant and Haleskins 1. Two guys I haven't really heard of in the industry. But then we see the big old name Beer Makers Fan, the winner of the football championship, arguably one of the best daily fantasy players, certainly wins as much money as anybody who plays in the industry. And a guy I've talked to several times and, you know, willing will take, will basically take a challenge from anybody. And people will get on him and say, how great is he? I don't know how many teams he put in. I don't know how many he stacked. But the bottom line is, this isn't his first go-around. This isn't his first rodeo. So Beer Makers Fan has a chance, 1 out of 5, to get back out to Vegas for a chance at $100,000. And then we have Bone Steel. Now, this guy made the baseball championship last year after he actually had a tie in one of the qualifying tournaments that he played early on, and then won the tiebreaker and made it to the finals. So this could be the first person to make back-to-back baseball finals, so that's pretty awesome. And I think this is the third year for baseball, so therefore it would be last season's and this season's. So that's pretty exciting. He's been in this situation before. And then Burn Notice. And if you don't know who Burn Notice is, it's none other than Mike Rathburn. He's been on the podcast, but the kind of interesting thing with him is he actually works for Daily Joust. I mean, how weird would it be to have a guy who works at a competing site end up making the finals over there on FanDuel? It's kind of interesting. But, you know, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of these people who work on other sites, they play, you know, but they're smart. They don't play on their own site. I mean, you could ask Alex. I see him play over on Draft Street all the time. So it's nothing new. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I just think it's kind of funny how it worked out that way. So, these are the five finalists. They're going to play it off on Friday. I'm excited to see how it goes because, let's face it, the best roster to set up for a 1,800-man tournament is completely different to putting together a roster for a five-man tournament. I have a hunch we're not going to be having stacked lineups for a five-man tournament for a chance at $100,000. So I'm excited to watch that. That's the cool thing about this, yeah. There's just more added drama to it, and I can't confirm this, but I'm sure the guys at FanDuel will provide a link for people to follow this five-man tournament because it's about as exciting as you can get, I think. You know, it's not $100,000, but it's the chance to do it, and the fact that we've got some quote-unquote well-known players like Beer Makers Fan, I mean, three Roto Grinders members, I mean, there's no question I'm pulling for one of these three people to make it into the finals, but definitely be looking out for that on Friday, and I would have never thought it was going to happen like that, but we will see if this spurs any changes down the road. So that's a quick look at the industry for today. Let's go and break out some analysis of Major League Baseball for this Monday night.
One constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. Baseball has marked the time.
Okay, let's start taking a look at tonight's games in Major League Baseball. We kick it off over there in the American League. Texas and Baltimore, Harrison versus Matthews. Baltimore won 5 straight games versus some pretty good teams. They're actually looking like a pretty legit squad there in the American League. But they send Matthews to the mound, who's actually been good in his last couple starts, but ultimately, I don't think he's a very good starter. Matthews 2-1, 6.64 ERA. In his 4 lifetime starts against the Rangers, and great numbers all around. Michael Young, 12 for 20 in his last 5 games last year against Baltimore. And Texas actually scored 13 runs on 3 different occasions versus the Orioles last year. So I'll take my chance stacking some teams with Rangers players. Nelson Cruz batting 361, 6 homers, 28 ribbies, while hitting safely in 24 of 28 career games against Baltimore. And Ian Kinsler, 30 for 90, 5 homers, 16 RBIs at Camden Yards. As for the Baltimore Orioles, Matt Harrison goes to the mound. 7 runs, 8 runs, that's what he's given up in his last 2 starts. But he does have a record of 3-0 with an ERA of 4.68 in 4 starts against Baltimore. Mark Reynolds has been heating up there at third base, a very cheap option there. He's been sitting at about $3,500 on Draft Street. Also, Adam Jones, looking like a really solid player that I thought he would be. 304 batting average, 8 home runs, 17 RBIs this season. New York and Philadelphia square off in Philly, and Roy Halladay is 7-0 with a 1.68 ERA against the Mets since joining the Phillies in 2010. But he's 0-2, 6.05 ERA in his last 3 starts, so getting banged up a little bit. Daniel Murphy, 7 hits in Arizona series, also 12 for 26 in his last 7 games versus the Phillies. But David Wright, batting 407, 3 home runs and 11 runs scored in his last 14 visits to Philadelphia, but not any good against Roy Halladay, who I think is the play tonight at pitcher. 3 for 21, 11 Ks against Halladay. As for Nice, gave up three of his last 4 starts against the Phillies with an ERA of 3.38. He did give up 5 runs, including 2 home runs in the first 2 innings before getting pulled in the 3rd in his last start. But Hunter Pence is playing pretty well right now. 16 for 38, 4 doubles, 3 homers, and 9 RBIs during his 9-game hit streak, but only 2 for 14 against Nice this year. And Placido Polanco, 10 for 23, 4 doubles against Nice. Atlanta and Chicago, Hanson versus Samardzija. The Cubs have a 2.76 ERA over the last 14 games, but they're going against a Braves team who is red hot at the plate. They've scored 29 runs in their 3-game sweep of Colorado. Samardzija, excellent over his last 14 innings, 0.63 ERA. So despite going against a hot Braves team, I think you can consider him today as a starter. Freddie Freeman batting 364, 6 homers, and 14 extra base hits over his last 19 games. Chipper Jones, he might be old, but he's getting it done. 9 for 17, 2 homers over his last 3 games. And he's only, though, a 219 hitter in Wrigley. Also, Eric Hinsky, not a great hitter in Wrigley, batting 192, but he is 10 for 13 in his last 3 starts. Tommy Hansen, he's 0-2 with an ERA of 5 in 2 career starts against the Cubs. Brian LaHare, he has reached base safely in 24 straight games and is 2nd in the National League, batting 390. So I think that number is going to come down sooner or later. But one guy who's not the most expensive but has done really well against the Braves in his career, Alfonso Soriano, batting 325. That's the highest batting average against any team in the National League for him. Ian Stewart, one guy with some decent numbers against Hanson, 2 for 4 with a home run. Cincinnati and Milwaukee, it's Bronson Arroyo against Giovanni Gallardo. And Arroyo could use a little more help from his teammates after being given 1 run of support over his last 2 starts. And Arroyo gave up 46 homers last season, but only 4 so far this year. But I think that stat's going to even up pretty soon. I think he's going to get might even start tonight. I think that's going to see some balls leave the park against him sooner or later. Ryan Braun, gone deep 7 times in his past 12 matchups versus Cincinnati. I like him today. Giovanni Gallardo, pretty inconsistent. Lost 2 straight games. Has good number. Lots of people have good numbers versus him for Cincinnati. Scott Rolen, 7-13. Ryan Ludwig, 4-11 with a couple of homers. Jay Bruce, 8-17. Joey Votto, 7-21. So Gallardo, what I've found with him over the years is he's either really good or really bad. There's not much middle ground with him. So if you want to take a shot on him, it's one thing, but definitely don't commit to him to multiple rosters tonight. Miami and Houston, Zambrano against Wandy Rodriguez. The Marlins look for a 7th straight win as they arrive for their last stop of a 9-game road trip. And Wandy is 3-0 with a 1.64 ERA and 5 starts against the Marlins at Minute Maid Park. And he's actually allowed 4 total runs over his last 4 starts and has won each of the past 3. So he's heating up right there for Houston. Hanley Ramirez, 7-18, 2 triples, and he's very good against left-handed pitchers, so I like him today. Logan Morrison also sees the ball well, coming off of Rodriguez's hand, 4-8 in his career. Giancarlo Stanton, only 0-5, though, has yet to get a hit against Rodriguez. I like Zambrano today. He's allowed 3 runs or fewer in each of his last 4 starts, getting charged with a loss in 2 of them, and he's actually done pretty well. 4-1, 2.75 ERA in his last 6 starts away from on the road against the Astros. Jose Altuve is hitting a team-high 352, and he went 4-9 with a couple of doubles in the last game against the Marlins. And the one guy who really has done well against Zambrano is Carlos Lee, so watch out for him. 371, 5 homers, 7 doubles in 70 at-bats. Only 1 strikeout in about every 10 at-bats against Zambrano, so that's a pretty good ratio there for Lee. Next game, we move out to the West Coast, San Diego and Colorado. Drew Pomeranz against Edinson Volquez. And Cargo is still pretty hot. 429, 5 homers in his last 9 games. And over the last 11 games, though, Colorado's rotation has just been getting lit up. 6.91 ERA. But the good thing is, San Diego, they don't score a lot of runs. They actually haven't scored 7 runs yet in Volquez's 6 starts, providing him basically with no room for error. So he's 1-2 with a 4.71 ERA in his career against the Rockies. I think Drew Pomeranz could be a cheap option today in this game. Padres are batting 221 versus lefties and actually only batting 208 at home. So if you want to go with a kind of deep sleeper, Drew Pomeranz could be it against San Diego. Boston and Kansas City, Felix Dubron against Jonathan Sanchez. Boston has had a miserable time at home recently, losing 10 of 11, so they are happy to hit the road. And they've actually won 7 of 9 in Kansas City. Dubron, he's going to be given pretty much every opportunity to get through this game, as the bullpen was absolutely used up in the last game against Baltimore. And he's a guy who's been striking out quite a few hitters. I think it's 23 out of the last 25 innings. That's how many strikeouts he has. Kansas City batting 215 against lefties, 2 homers and 191 at-bats. So a pretty good chance Dubront does well today in this game. As for the Royals, their starters are 2-8 with a 6.59 ERA at home. Adrian Gonzalez went 0-8 in Sunday's loss. Just absolutely horrendous. It's not, you know, it's bad when you strike out, but it's even worse when you strike out to the first baseman, which is what happened to him yesterday. He's 9-36. It's .231 average with a homer and 12 strikeouts against Sanchez. Played to him, went against him quite a bit back when he was with San Diego and Sanchez was with San Francisco. Los Angeles and Minnesota, it's Weaver against Liriano. 5 days after his no-hitter against the Twins, Weaver gets him again. Clearly, great option today. Super expensive, though. I think he was like $480K on Jauce today. I think that's like half of your entire salary cap on one player, so I wouldn't go that route. Historically, hitters actually, or pitchers, have not done particularly great their game following their no-hitter. But here's the thing. Minnesota, they're terrible. They've totaled 5 runs and 14 hits while batting .096 in their first 5 games this month. Weaver is winless in his 2 road starts this year compared to being 4-0 with a .83 ERA at home. So probably he's going to get it done, but yeah. It's tough not to go against Minnesota, but he's going to be really, really expensive. He goes against Liriano, who gave up four runs in just five and a third innings in a 4-0 loss to the Angels on Tuesday. He's 0-3 with a 9.58 ERA over his last four matchups. Howie Kendrick, 6-for-11, three extra base hits against Liriano. And Albert Pujols finally got off the schneid, got a homer the other day. And I'm really guessing that this is going to kind of get the ball rolling for him. So not great track record. I think he's 0-for-8 against Liriano in his career, but I think I might start him today. I think he could have another homer. I think this is really going to snowball for Albert Pujols. St. Louis in Arizona. It's Lance Lynn against Joe Saunders. Lynn chanced to become the first St. Louis pitcher since Bob Tewksbury back in 1994 to win his first six games of the season. And the Diamondbacks, they are 3-for-28 with runners in scoring position while losing two of their three against the New York Mets. So they got to improve on that if they want to get to Lance Lynn. Saunders, second lowest ERA in the majors. Pretty shocking there. Not allowed more than two earned runs in any of his five starts. Alan Craig, since coming off the DL, has done well. 6-for-16 with a home run and seven RBIs in the four games off the DL. And Carlos Beltran, four hits and seven at-bats. Two of them were extra base hits, including a homer and a triple against Joe Saunders. And the last couple games for us to take a look at, we'll start with Detroit and Seattle. Pfister against Bevin. Tigers had 10 hits, but went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position in the last game, which they won 3-1. Andy Dierks, nobody talks about this guy, but he's batting .313, two homers, seven RBIs in 15 games this year. I love Prince Fielder tonight, 5-for-11 against the White Sox in that series. His average is back at .300, and he is batting .304 versus the Mariners this year and been pretty good on the road away from Detroit. Bevin got rocked in his last game against the Rays. I think it could happen again tonight, so taking a couple guys from Detroit might not be a bad option. Doug Pfister was great last year, but this is his first game coming off the DL after his debut kind of fell a little bit short. So I'm guessing that he might not go very far in this game. Maybe six innings tops in this matchup, but couldn't ask for a better matchup here than Seattle. Pfister, 3.42 ERA in his 35 career games in Safeco. Remember, he used to play for Seattle. Jesus Montero went 5-for-14 with three RBIs against the Tigers last month. And Kyle Seager's batting .389, 10 RBIs in his last five games. Last game for us to talk about, San Francisco and Los Angeles. Zito against Lilly. Zito 0-3 with a 3.05 ERA in eight games, seven starts against the Dodgers since May of 09. He lasted just 3 2/3 his last start, allowing two runs and actually walking seven people in less than four innings. Not good. Matt Kemp is batting .426 with a couple of homers against Zito, but be careful with him. He might be out of the lineup. Did not start the last game against Chicago, did come in and pinch hit, but it sounded like it's still iffy for tonight. Barry Zito has allowed only two hits against left-handed batters this season, 2-for-27, 0.74 is the batting average, so ignore Andre Ethier tonight. He's only hitting .161 anyway against Zito. Ted Lilly hasn't allowed more than two runs in any of his four starts this year, but he is 0-3 with a 6.86 ERA in four starts against the Giants since joining the Dodgers. One guy who's done well is Angel Pagan, 7-for-20. In the four games against LA in 2011, and he's 5-for-10 with two doubles off of Lilly in his career. So that's the rundown of Major League Baseball for Monday night. Hope this information helps you, and best of luck. Time for me to take a quick moment and say thank you to my friends over there at Daily Joust. If you don't know, Solo Survivor tournament begins tomorrow. $500. That means we had a rollover. So whoever's the last person standing after 4 days of solos will win that $500 prize on top of the money that they win in playing the solo contest. But the only way you can get into it is to have won a solo in the past 7 days. So I think you have one more day today if you want to play some solos and get into that Solo Survivor action. It's a great way to play the game. You only have to reach a point total, 60 points, and then you win. You don't have to go against the big-name players. You go against the house. So give it a try over there on Joust. Tomorrow we're going to be joined by JMB. John Britt's going to come on the podcast, and we'll talk to him about his strategy in the Solo Survivor Tournament, as he's actually won two of them already this season in baseball. So that's coming up tomorrow on the show. Also, running King Richards, like, every single day. These are the 50-50 Survivor games. They've been a lot of fun. They've been filling fast. So make sure you go over there and give them a try. And still, playoff basketball action is available on Daily Joust. So please check them out. Great sponsor of the podcast. They are dailyjoust.com. And with that, folks, I'm going to say goodbye to you for this Monday. We'll return again tomorrow, like I just mentioned. John Britt should be joining us. We'll talk some baseball with him and obviously discuss more daily fantasy. That's what this show is all about. And we appreciate you coming on the podcast and listening to us as well. This is the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix presented by Daily Joust. Please follow us on Twitter at Roto Grinders. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and tune in to us again tomorrow. Have yourself a great night, folks. We will see you.